I gave him tennis lessons. He was a great guy, and so was his wife. I liked the both of them. And then we'd go to the bar after and have drinks and dinner and stuff like that, you know, burgers or whatever, not very expensive. Sometimes I would pay for it, sometimes he would pay for it, sometimes we'd pay for each other's, you know, or our own or whatever. And that was a turning point, that tennis racket. So you need to look for where, you know, where is there an account where, you know, God, I got nothing in common with these guys, nothing. And I can't find any common ground. Okay, let's go to the next account. You got 50 accounts. Let's start with number one. Put them in order by their potential, which generally is the number of employees. What's going on in this account? Is there anybody there? Do I know anybody there? Can I know anybody there? Now, if you don't know anybody, you're going to start with all 50 and you just start going and see what happens. But you would like to focus on the accounts where you have a turning point. Certainly, if they just ordered a bunch of your stuff, your equipment, that's great. That's a fantastic one. If they're living in your apartment buildings, that's a good one. Maybe you could sell them a car. You know, if you got 266 units, selling each one of them a car, be fantastic.
We've done that.
Yep. So that's part of the deal. You need, you buy a car, we give you an apartment. You can you tie them together, or you buy the apartment, we give you a car. You know, either way.
Three months rent, or $100 coupon off.
Yeah, I could see, you know, a lot of opportunity there for sure.
Sure.
You want to have the competitor share to be less than 42%. Now that's something that is based on theory, and it's a theory, but it's a good theory. And I think it's a very applicable theory. Why would you not want to have a competitor having a huge share? Now, I don't even know that this applies to you guys, because you guys sell such a unique product. I don't even think you've got competitors, right? Or do you?
No, we do.
Okay.
Not for all parts, but we do for some.
All right.
But that thing's high.
Why would you not want to pick a plant where your competitor has more than 42% market share?
Why would you not want to?
Right. See, this is saying select an account where the competitor's share is less than 42%. So if the competitor's got a 70% share of all the equipment in that facility, you would not want to choose that one as the one you're going after.
Oh, you mean not that they're just selling to them, they actually have share in the company?
No, that they're selling. Let's say this company buys 100 machines.
Yeah.
This company, you're trying to pick an account that you're going to focus on. And the company buys 100 machines. 75 of those machines are now coming from your competitor. One competitor. 75 of the 100.
Okay. Why would you not?
Yeah, why would you not want that one?
Because you wouldn't be able to service them, a percentage of them, like you would a company that had...
Well,
the majority?
That's partly true, yes. But if they're buying ever-ready batteries, and they buy $1 million worth of ever-ready batteries a year,
they're not going to go with somebody.
You know, what are you going to do? There's kick ever-ready out? Yeah. You're going to kick ever-ready out in there? Is that possible? No, it's not possible.
What if you could provide ever-ready batteries cheaper than the competitor?
Okay.
I would think you'd want to go after that kind of a
Yeah, If it was ever-ready batteries, and you could sell ever-ready batteries, the exact same product, yes. And if there was a dramatic, if you had some product like that was Duracell batteries that were so much better, but even at that, if they're buying $1 million worth of ever-ready batteries, and their total business in batteries, they're buying $1,100,000. So they're buying 100,000 of Duracell and whatever other batteries are out there, but they're buying $1 million worth of ever-ready batteries. Going to be very, very hard to knock EverReady out of that account. Because the EverReady, if they're selling a million, they got sales guys in there, they're entertaining, they're doing a zillion things. Very, very hard. Not impossible, but very, very hard. If something's likely to change, like the chief battery buyer is married to the EverReady salesperson, and those kinds of things exist, and the guy's 87 years old, okay, now we're talking something different here because, you know, 87 years old, things are likely to change pretty soon around here. So there are reasons for that. But generally, you don't want to go into an account.
Because you're going to spend too much time.
You're going to spend too much
time. On the accounts that you know for sure that you can.
If you've got.
If you're the competitor
right,
in that business.
If you're selling most of the stuff, that's certainly a lot better for you Or, you know, if they're buying from a whole lot of competitors and stuff like that, you know, then you can, you know, have them kick all those other competitors out.
Be a good challenge, though.
Yeah. But don't let your ego get in the way, because I've done that, you know, with accounts. My boss told me, John, don't waste your time on this account because you're never going to sell them anything. Well, as soon as I heard that, then I started going over there, spent a lot of time, wasted my time, never got anywhere, but wasted a lot of time. I never told my boss that, but I wasted a lot of time and never got anywhere. So good match for your products or services, you know. So if you're selling low-end stuff, you want to go to people that can buy low-end stuff. If you're selling high-end stuff, you know, you want to go to guys that can buy that. Size of the opportunity, and that's potential. Usually that's related to the number of employees. It might not always be, but it mostly is. Likelihood of success, and that's a quantification that you make. Now, I feel good with these people. I think I could get some business. So I think the likelihood of success is good.